You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Now, the Mets might have waited 2.5 hours too long, but they finally decided to postpone their game on Tuesday. They will play a doubleheader on Wednesday, and I'm going to talk about that in the first segment today and how the Mets maybe end up okay here. I know it is unfortunate that Jacob deGrom will now only make one start before the All-Star break, but the Mets have been pretty good in doubleheaders, and this can still work out well for them. So I will go through that, but then in the final two segments, I want to talk about Carlos Carrasco. He threw a live BP today. His return is becoming more and more imminent. So I want to go through his career and really explain how good this guy is, because I think people are forgetting how good he is, and also kind of roll out a plan for when he could be back with the Mets and how they can structure their rotation accordingly. So we'll get to all of that in just a bit. But before we do, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So as I said, you wait forever. The delay ends up getting very weird as there's Nintendo 64, I believe, playing on the Jumbotron. And you thought that the game was going to get in only because the Mets were clearly determined against most logic to make sure that they played tonight, because it lined things up perfectly for Jacob deGrom. He would have started Tuesday night, then he'd be good to go for Sunday night, and then right after the break, he'd be on his full scheduled rest to go again against the Pirates. He'd get two starts against the Pirates in a row, essentially giving you what you would think are two wins, maybe two cracks at a no-hitter. Now, you have to readjust, but this is not the end of the world for the Mets. It's now going to be an amazing pitching matchup in Game 1 at 2:05. Corbin Burnes versus Jacob deGrom, two all-stars, two of the best pitchers in baseball, especially when you talk about strikeout-to-walk rate. It's going to be fun to watch. So that's one positive side of this. Game 2 is going to be Brett Anderson versus Robert Stock. And for the Mets, that's good because it's a 7-inning game, and you have no idea what you're going to get out of Stock. Now, I did want to go through who Robert Stock is for those of you who might not be aware. He obviously made a start against the Mets last month and did not fare well, gave up 5 runs in 4 innings. And it's not someone that you should be thrilled about for his long-term future at the Mets. But could he have a nice out and give you 4 innings in a 7-inning game and give you a chance to win? Absolutely. Stock was a second-round pick back in 2009, but his career sent him all over the map. He had a stint in Indy League in 2016, ended up catching on with the Red Sox in 2018, had a 2.50 ERA in 39 and 2/3 innings pitched out of the bullpen. Zach Scott was with the Red Sox at that time, Scott being the Mets GM now, so obviously some familiarity there. He then made a cameo with the Padres in 2019, then another with the Red Sox in 2020. Didn't really pitch great in either stop. Then, of course, he had that one start with the Cubs against the Mets last month. And other than that, that's been his big league career. So not a ton to look back on, but he's a guy that has a nice fastball. It reached 99 against the Mets, averaged at 96. He pairs that with his cutter at 89. 73 of his 79 pitches in that start against the Mets were either the fastball or the cutter. So he's just going to go after hitters, going to try to throw strikes. And that can work for the Mets. They can definitely win that game. You look at what they've done in doubleheaders throughout this season. They're 10-6. They've swept 2. They split 6 of them. They've been great in those games. So this is just an opportunity to win this series against a really good team in the Brewers. Obviously, you like Jacob deGrom versus Brett Anderson as a matchup. You think the Mets probably win that game. But look, now deGrom can beat Corbin Burns, and maybe Robert Stock beats Brett Anderson, and you get a sweep on your hands, and then you head into a four-game series against the Pirates. And I know it would have been great, again, to get deGrom that extra start, but whoever they throw out on Sunday should be able to beat the Pirates, especially if the Mets' bats do what they are supposed to do against a team like Pittsburgh, who has the second worst record in the National League. You go out, you put up a ton of runs, you crush them, you feel good about your offense heading into that All-Star break. In some respects, this is almost a cleaner path to get to a really nice last week of the season. The Mets go ahead, they win that first game of the doubleheader. Maybe they sweep it against the Brewers. They win 3 of 4 against the Pirates. You go into the break with a 5-2 week, 8 games over .500, still in first place in the NL East. Jacob deGrom can still skip the All-Star game if he chooses and be ready to go to pitch the first game out of the break once again against the Pirates. And then you roll from there. So I feel like things are okay for the Mets. It was definitely a nice idea to have deGrom make those two starts heading into the break and a third one coming out of the break. But I think the Mets are okay here. It's nothing to panic about. I think the one thing that's kind of interesting from all of this is the Mets did some maneuvering before the game on Tuesday, or what was supposed to be the game, when it comes to their injured list that might have come back to bite them, because Corey Oswalt was put on the IL to make room for Robert Stock. Oswalt was listed with knee inflammation, which feels like a phantom IL stint where you have a guy who's not going to be able to pitch much before the All-Star break. He went on Sunday. There wasn't a clear path for him to pitch again because they had DeGrom going twice. McGill was going to start on Saturday. You have Stroman and Walker pitching in that series, so there was no place for Oswalt. He goes on the injured list to get Stock up. Now, you might need Oswalt, or you could have needed Oswalt for a start on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Now you won't have him. Obviously, Stock is starting this doubleheader game, so you won't have him. Who knows who can come up? Maybe it is Nick Schiappino now that gets his Mets debut out of all this, or maybe it's a bullpen game to close things out. If it is your last game before the break, you can just kind of throw everyone out there and just try to win one against Pittsburgh. But overall, like I said, not a big deal if the Mets don't play this game. I think they're still in great shape to finish things strong. And then, of course, there's going to be a lot to talk about when it comes to the trade deadline and everything after the break. And I want to start doing that right now, as I'm going to talk about Carlos Carrasco and what his addition will mean for this team. Going to get to all of that in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you more about Spotify Green Room, because it is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. And I host Locker Rooms on Wednesdays, which is today, so you can get in on the conversation you listen to here every day by downloading the free Green Room app now, which is currently available on all devices. Be sure to create your profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for league updates, and then follow me at Finkelstein Ryan, and you'll be notified when my room goes live. I'm planning on going live for the second game of the doubleheader, so check in around 7 o'clock. You can talk with me, other fans. It really is like watching the game with some of your buddies. A lot of fun, so make sure you check that out. I'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So Carlos Carrasco threw a live BP on Tuesday, and it appears like he might just make that date of being back before the end of July. And I don't think people are really making a big enough deal about how big of an impact this guy can have, because he's been out of sight, out of mind all year. And you forget that he might have been the number two starter entering this season for this Mets rotation that has gotten incredible performances from their slated 3 and 4 starters in Marcus Stroman and Taijuan Walker. Cookie is a dynamic starting pitcher, and I wanted to take you through his career arc so you can see how good he has been. And it didn't just start off great. This wasn't a guy like Jacob deGrom that came up, was excellent, won a Rookie of the Year, never left the rotation. It took some time for Carrasco. He didn't come to the majors until 2009, only made 12 starts between 2009 and 2010, finally broke through the rotation in 2011 for the Indians, made 21 starts, pitched to a 4.62 ERA, but needed Tommy John. So he gets the surgery, misses all of 2022, returns in 2022, I just said. Man, this is like Milwaukee Braves all over again. I caught myself this time, and I'm leaving all that in. He missed all of 2012 rehabbing, I should have said. And then in 2013, he pitched to a 6.75 ERA in 56 and two-third innings pitch. 2014 is when he really broke through. Starts the season, pitches to a 6.95 ERA. Moved to the bullpen. Then pitches to a 2.30 ERA in 43 innings pitched, and then is inserted back into the rotation for the final 10 starts of the season, where he pitches to a 1.30 ERA in 69 innings. Then you look at what he's done since, right? Since being inserted back into the rotation August 10th, 2014, he's pitched to a 3.32 ERA in 151 starts and nearly 1,000 innings pitched. He has spent a little bit of time in the bullpen dealing with injuries and such. Even with that, though, his ERA since 2014, if you include everything, the bullpen and the starts, he has a 3.40 ERA, which is 19th in baseball since 2014. And if you continue to dig into those numbers, since 2014, Carlos Carrasco is 11th in F4, which is Fangraphs wins above replacement. He is 11th in strikeouts per nine at 10.29, just below Clayton Kershaw. He's 18th in walks at 2.10, which is walks per nine. And then he is 19th, as I said, in ERA since 2014. Here's the big one. Carlos Carrasco has the fourth best xFIP in all of baseball at 305. Now you have Clayton Kershaw, who's in first at 267, Chris Sale at 284, Jacob DeGrom at 291, and then Carrasco. And what that stat means, you look at it very similar to ERA, but it's Fangraphs version of trying to extrapolate what a pitcher's worth. It's fielding independent pitching, but it's expected fielding independent pitching. So it tries to remove the defense, remove the park factors, and based on what a pitcher provides, this is what their ERA should be. So since 2014, this guy's a top five starter in baseball based on that metric. Not far off from Jacob DeGrom. That's how good Carlos Carrasco is. In 2020, made 12 starts, pitched to a 2.91 ERA, had a career best strikeout per nine of 10.9. And this is, of course, coming off the cancer, the leukemia. He misses parts of the 2019 season, somehow comes back, pitches 2020. The guy is a remarkable story. He's a great dude. It's just a shame that he hasn't been able to contribute up to this point, but he's been a big part of that clubhouse still. And right now, it seems like he's finally healthy. Pitching a live BP, he did his PFP, so he's running, the hamstring's good, the arm's okay. He just has to basically go through spring training now to get himself ready to go. And I think because it's been such a lengthy time out, everyone is kind of concerned about what he's going to look like, or is he going to be healthy? And those are fair concerns. But I think that the Mets have been playing it cautious as of late. So I imagine he is fully healthy at this point. I think considering the Mets standing in the division, they probably were not pushing him because they didn't necessarily need to. So I believe that when he's back, he's going to be Carlos Carrasco. And if you get that with the other three guys you have, I mean, this rotation is golden. Yes, there are some depth questions, and we'll talk about that in a minute here as I kind of forecast what that could look like when Carrasco rejoins the team. But again, we're talking about a guy that was slated to maybe be the number two starter in a rotation that was going to include not only Stroman and Walker, but maybe even Noah Syndergaard midseason. Obviously, all of that didn't work out. But what they've gotten instead is an incredible first half from Walker and Stroman. Jacob DeGrom has gone scorched earth in a way that he even hadn't the last couple of years before that when he was still the best pitcher in baseball. He's taken it to another ridiculous level. And now for the second half, you slot in Carrasco. You got this kid McGill who's giving you more than you would have expected. We'll see what that pans out to be. You have the opportunity to add at the deadline. And then you also have a chance for Noah Syndergaard to return to either your rotation or maybe even your bullpen. in September. And pitching him out of the bullpen might be the best thing. That's probably a topic for another podcast. But imagine you roll out a playoff rotation of Jacob DeGrom, Carlos Carrasco, Marcus Stroman, and Taijuan Walker. And then your bullpen has Edwin Diaz, Jeurys Familia, Trevor May, and Noah Syndergaard as guys that can get high leverage outs for you at the end of games. That sounds like a team that can win a lot of playoff games and make a real run here, especially if the bats can figure it out, which I believe they will in the second half. So a lot of exciting stuff there. I want to kind of look a little bit more now into the schedule and when we can see Carrasco come back and what that really changes as far as McGill and the Mets' approach at the deadline. So we'll talk about all that in a minute. But first, I want to tell you once again about the best tasting protein bar on the market. Nothing is better than a Built Bar, whether it's after a workout, maybe for breakfast to get your day going. I just love my Built Bars. Cookies and cream is my favorite, but you can't go wrong with any of their amazing flavors. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, unlike other protein bars, and they're healthy. They come low in calories and low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So Carlos Carrasco got through his first live BP on Tuesday. Going to have to do a couple more of those, then he'll begin a rehab assignment. You have to look at Carrasco right now like he's in the beginning of spring training. That's where he's at. And spring training is generally 4 weeks. So would it be that surprising with 3 full weeks that this guy can get ramped up, ready to go, at least 75 pitches, and you could insert him in the rotation and then go from there? Maybe it's in the rotation with an opener. You have someone like Miguel Castro start the first inning or maybe the first 2 innings of a game, and then you go to Carrasco to give you your bulk innings for a couple of times through. It can all work if he can go through that rehab assignment without any injury, ends up entering the rotation, and you could be set right before the deadline to have a rotation that includes DeGrom, Walker, Stroman, Carrasco, and Tyler McGill, and then you have to decide, based on that, what you add, whether that is just getting a legitimate starter like a Jose Berrios and saying, look, we want to win now, we're going all in, or you go for John Gray, who's maybe a little bit more high-priced of a rental than some other guys you could probably get for nothing, like the J.A. Happ, Michael Pineda class that we talked about last week. Or, who knows, maybe you don't need anything. You know, maybe you continue to do what you've been doing. Just find some guys that can pitch with length, like your Stocks, like your Chipinos. Stack up that farm system. Who knows, maybe even Peterson's injury concerns will be cleared up in 3 or 4 weeks. And maybe he's going to be on the mend. We really don't know. But the way things shake out right now, and the start that I am predicting right now that Carrasco makes, is on July 27th. So what you have heading out of the break, you have 6 games in 6 days. You have a series against the Pirates and then a series against the Reds. I'll actually be at some of those games with my dad and my brother-in-law. Going to be a lot of fun. But getting back to how this rotation will shake out, DeGrom is likely to start that first game unless he has a change of heart and starts the All-Star game. So he pitches that first game. You then have to figure out a fifth starter for that first turn through the rotation. But then there is an off day after those first 6 games. And what that means is for your second turn through the rotation, you can skip your fifth starter. The Mets' first off day would come after Jacob DeGrom's second start on July 21st. He'd then be good to go after Walker, Stroman, and McGill pitch on July 26th as one of the starters in a doubleheader against the Atlanta Braves. That's actually a 5-game series against the Braves with the doubleheader. That's a makeup and then your traditional 3-game series. So you would have DeGrom and a spot starter or a bullpen game to get you through the doubleheader. Then July 27th, Carlos Carrasco can return to the rotation. Or maybe if he's not fully stretched out and you have another idea for that start on the 27th, maybe Carrasco goes on the 26th in a 7-inning game. You figure out that other game there. You have Walker and Stroman finishing out that 5-game series. And then you're at the trade deadline on July 30th. So that is how the Mets can kind of get to the trade deadline with Carrasco factoring into that rotation if all goes well in his rehab. And I think that that is actually a pretty reasonable plan there. And what does that give the Mets front office by waiting until then to make a move? Well, you get another 3 weeks to see what's going on with David Peterson. And that injury was supposed to be taken on a week-to-week basis. That would be about a month from the injury. So you'd really have an idea of, okay, is David Peterson going to be back in 2 weeks? Is he going to be back in a month? Do we have no idea if he's coming back this season? Is that oblique just not healing? You will also have three more starts of Tyler McGill before the deadline to see if he can stay in that rotation for the rest of the season. Is he legit? Or does he have to get back down to Syracuse? So do you need somebody to be your fifth starter? Because that's still a problem whether you get Carrasco back or not. There is no fifth starter outside of Miguel. So that is another question that can be answered. And then, of course, at the deadline, you're going to get the best prices on these deals. If John Gray has stayed on the market this whole time and the Rockies are trying to extract some value, they might move him at the 11th hour for the package that you've submitted to them right now. I'm sure there's been preliminary conversations that the Mets do like John Gray, I should, you know, say, but assuming they do, there's been some conversations there, and the Rockies are saying we can get more than whatever the Mets are offering. And so you just stand pat. And that's what Zach Scott was talking about on that clip I played on yesterday's show, that at some point, the price of rentals may come down or teams will hold firm in it and get nothing. And for a pitcher like Gray in particular, who's likely not going to get a qualifying offer, those teams get their back against the wall and they cave a lot of times, especially if there's no hope of making the playoffs. Every year we see just a flurry of moves that come in at, you know, 4:15. The deadline's at 4, and all these other moves just trickle through. So that can happen here where the Mets can get an arm at the cost that they want. And they don't want to give up Francisco Alvarez or Brett Beatty or any of their top prospects, because that farm system took such a hit the last couple of years, and this team really doesn't need it. If you really think about it, and I do want the Mets to be aggressive at the deadline, but smartly aggressive. I don't want them to push all their chips in just to go from being a 90-win team to a 95-win team in the regular season if that doesn't really make a difference on them winning the division. Because 90 wins probably wins the East this year. So if you can get to that with what you have, then you have to ask the question, do you have enough in the playoffs? And as I said in the last segment, if you have that four-man rotation with Noah Syndergaard coming out of the bullpen to go along with guys that have been performing well all year, with Familia, and did I even mention Lugo? I might not even have mentioned Lugo before. Between Familia, Lugo, May, Diaz, Syndergaard, you got great pitching. Do you really need to make a trade for Jose Berrios and give up Mark Vientos? Do you really need to? Does he crack that five-man or the four-man rotation? He doesn't. Would he be nice to have out of the bullpen? Yeah, it's a good luxury to have, but do you really need him? And then you talk about what you need when it comes to your position players. And I think the Mets certainly could make a move, but they also, if you talk about their areas of need, right, it's either third base or left field. Well, Dominic Smith is coming around right now. He's been better in the outfield than we ever could have expected this season. The Mets' defense as a whole has been better than you could have expected, and that's because they've had Villar and Guillorme playing a lot of third base instead of Davis. But that trio fills third base pretty well. Your bench is great with whatever it is. Whoever's not starting at third, Pilar, Nito, it's a solid bench. I mean, there's so much panic, and the Mets have to make a move. And maybe they will. And if they do, it probably is for the best. You can never have too much talent. But the reason why I wanted to talk about Carrasco is because he is probably the best pitcher anyone's going to get to add to the rotation in the second half of the season. Unless Max Scherzer gets dealt, or I don't know, maybe Kyle Hendricks, I can't really see the starter that moves that'll have a bigger impact than Carlos Carrasco. And you say, well, I mean, you know, isn't Berrios better than Carrasco? He's not. These guys aren't. German Marquez is not better than Carlos Carrasco. And I will reference that stat again. Since 2014, Carlos Carrasco has the fourth best xFIP in all of baseball. That's a metric that's supposed to tell you who's the best pitcher. And outside of Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, and Jacob deGrom, they think Carrasco is the best out of all of baseball in that span. And that's, of course, actually over 500 innings pitched. So there's obviously guys that have come up that haven't reached that mark that you like more. But the point is, this is a frontline starting pitcher that could be inserted back into your rotation. And that is as good of a deadline addition as the Mets are going to make this year. They need depth because you don't know about health. But that might be all I'm trading for at the deadline. We'll see how things shake out. Big doubleheader today against the Brewers, so enjoy that. Jacob deGrom versus Corbin Burns. That's a hell of a matchup to get your day going. Join me on Locker Room later tonight. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And enter right now with our giveaway to get a signed photo of Al Leiter. Also, if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.